back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back. I've got Candy Watts, who's with the Eric Stewart Group. Candy joins me this morning. She is a licensed appraiser with 15 years experience now as an appraiser, and joins us from our Northern Virginia branch of the Eric Stewart Group. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning, Eric.
Candy, I love your intuition. You seem to know when I want to ask you questions. I'm going to give you free rein here for us to have a conversation with our audience about some of your observations about reselling houses, and I'd like to have you just jump right in.
Sure. Well, I know we had recently a little confusion about what makes a legal bedroom in the basement.
Yes.
And although in Fairfax County, they had recently made some, they haven't adopted the changes yet, but they have enacted them. I talked to them last week, mm-hmm. just to clarify everything. And basically, any house that was built, I believe, after 2001
yes.
is not required to have a basement exit.
Okay.
But if they do want to have a legal bedroom in the basement, they are required either to have a walk out or walk up from a door mm-hmm. or a legal window.
From within that room?
From within that room.
Okay.
It has to be in the room. It can't be out in the rec room.
Okay.
It has to be in the room. And then there are some, you know, some houses have wells,
mm-hmm.
basement windows with wells.
Yes.
So there are some, and I didn't even realize this myself, so then I discovered in my research, there are limitations of sizes for the well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It has to be big enough that someone of a certain size can climb up out of the window into the well to then climb out of the well.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then, of course, you have your basic height requirements. According to the HUD guidelines, it states 44 inches from floor to the windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be some size limitations of the window. In Fairfax County, it is 24 inches high by 20 inches deep. HUD is a little bit different. HUD is 36 inches wide with HUD.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a buyer who is or a seller who is considering accepting an FHA contract,
mm-hmm.
that FHA appraisal for that buyer will have to fall underneath the HUD guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a little different.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the common things of no peeling paint, any house prior to 78 because of lead-based paint, basic no rotted wood, those
right.
basic FHA requirements that we're looking for,
mm-hmm.
this was something that was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of misconceptions out there.
So I'm curious, at what point does HUD supersede Fairfax County? Is it just on HUD properties?
On FHA HUD loans.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because they're being backed by FHA HUD. So there's
right.
stricter guidelines for the appraiser
mm-hmm.
for those purchases.
So as a seller, you're going to want to know that if you accept an offer from an FHA buyer and your window well, for instance, complies with Fairfax County or Montgomery County or Washington, D.C. guidelines, but doesn't with HUD, that the way that FHA guideline, the way the FHA addendum is written is that the seller agrees to comply with reasonable lender requirements. So,
correct.
And because it's written that way, and it may or may not have a limit in how much you would have to spend as a seller, if you accept the fact that someone's trying to get an FHA mortgage, you want to make sure that your window well actually meets the FHA, the HUD guideline. Even if you know that it meets Fairfax, if it doesn't meet the HUD guideline, it could be argued, is that reasonable or unreasonable for you to have to comply? You know, the buyer could say, hey, you agreed to it, and you don't want to put yourself in that position. So be careful.
Extremely careful, which is also why it's really important for your listing agent, for a seller, to really be versed on these different requirements, which mm-hmm. is one of the things that I bring to our group that I have gave guidance to, or other agents I've given guidance to for in these situations mm-hmm. to help them out, which helps our sellers.
Yes.
And so it is, there's a lot more strict requirements for an FHA / HUD backed loan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you agree as a seller to accept this contract, then you have to know that your property is going to have to abide by these rules, no matter what they are.
Right.
Or your buyer's not going to be able to get the loan. And you're right back on the market, and you've wasted a whole bunch of possibly really valuable marketing time.
True. It's interesting, too, as a seller's agent, I think you have a responsibility to know what the setback requirements are on the front, the back, the sides of a house, so that if a buyer were to ask you, can I put a shed back here, or are there any utility easements on the property, that they're aware of those items as well.
That's absolutely true, and every county is different about what they will require. Like, for instance, in Fairfax County, something I discovered while trying to put a shed in my own house, if you want to do it without a permit, the peak of the roof cannot exceed, I think it was 6 feet 9 inches or something like that. It was very short.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to really change. It was a custom-built shed, so we had to change it on how we built it. But, I mean, there's little you know, things in the code that you just can't think of everything.
Right.
So some things you just don't figure them out until the situation pops up.
Sure. No, that makes sense. In fact, I can hear the chainsaw whiz in there. We had to correct our custom built shed. It was too tall.
Well, exactly. This is exactly what happened.
Is that right?
Exactly. We already had the roof, you know, the rafters on the roof. I wasn't a super big, humongous shed, but
right.
We had to kind of regroup in the middle of it. And it was something that we just never thought of. And I never thought of it, you know, in over 14, 15 years of doing this. It has just never come up.
It's interesting, too, the importance of doing a correct survey of a property, that as a buyer purchasing real estate, you normally will perform a site survey. You'll hire somebody for $170. They come out, they shoot a line from the corners of the property to make sure that there aren't any fences encumbering the property or garages or something from your neighbor, that kind of thing. If you're buying new property, you oftentimes will see stakes around the exterior perimeter of the property, and that's the best way, because they stake everywhere that you can put the fence. I had a property for sale many years ago now, and the next door neighbor had built a carport about a foot and a half over his line onto the house that I was selling. So we sold the property, a survey was done, it was found out that the carport was over the line, and you can't get title insurance, a clear title insurance policy, if there are major encumbrances on the property. You could get an exclusion for that, but the buyer didn't want to have somebody else's carport over their property. So I had to go to the next door neighbor and say, hey, I'm sorry, but you're going to need to take this carport down. And they did. They had to take it down, and then they had to jackhammer the driveway a foot and a half back over so that they were on their property. So it was a bit painful. So being careful to follow the lines, so to speak, careful to follow the rules. What other insights do you have for us today?
Another thing is about ceiling height. Sometimes you get into some of the older houses, Arlington, Bethesda, the old Cape Cods,
yes.
Even in D.C., some of the older houses there. And the older houses don't always conform to the current codes for ceiling height.
Right.
So there's nothing you can do about it. You know, this is how they were built.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes common sense has to prevail.
Right.
If we're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges, then all of our comparables that we are trying to establish a market value for our subject property that's for sale, as long as we're comparing it to like houses, we're okay as far as establishing a value. Where it can sometimes get tricky is when the appraiser will come in, and if it's an FHA loan,
right?
If they're going to abide by all these rules, there is a limitation of 7 feet for ceiling height. Another guideline says 6 feet 4 inches for ceiling height. So it's just a little tricky on how this is going to happen. A lot of it is just common sense. And you also have to look at it, how is the buyer looking at it? What is the function of this area? How is someone going to live in it and use it as a family member? So common sense has to prevail, I think, in some of these situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just smart as here at the Eric Stewart Group, that we are aware of these situations that might pop up so that we can advise our seller clients by it or our buyer clients.
Exactly.
And let them know that, you know, this is the possibility, just to let them educate them along the way.
In fact, you can lower the floor in your basement in older houses because the footer standard oftentimes, and I'm not giving this advice specific to anybody's house that's listening to the show right now, but this is more for you to be aware that it could work for you. If you have low ceilings, you could lower the concrete floor down to the base of the footer, because the footer oftentimes, like houses built in the 60s, like the house I'm in right now, the footer, the concrete floor was poured to the top of the footer as opposed to the bottom of the footer, and the current code allows you to pour to the bottom. What's the difference? 8 inches. A much taller ceiling in the basement. Yes, $25,000 of excavation to break out the floor, but all of a sudden, my basement is now a very wonderful and usable space. I'm going to take a quick break. Candy, and I'll be right back with more. Sit tight, right back.